prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
We are glad you're here today. I'm excited because we are talking about one of my favorite reasons to believe in God.
What is that?
The Quran cosmological argument. I thought you knew that. I thought you knew that
was,
all the way.
I was pretending to read.
Dave,
I really
we know
reading.
You can't read.
It's okay.
Anyway, we're doing a Bible contradiction today. We're going to answer one of those as usual.
And you know what?
What?
This is where faith and reason coexist.
This is where faith and reason meet, right here. Like a boy and a girl who were meant to be.
Right. A man and a woman that were meant to be. Because boys and girls probably should hold
are
off
not
on
meant
dating
to
for
be.
A while.
That's right.
Until you're at least 35.
35.
Wow, okay. There we go. 35.
Yeah, I'm 36. I started dating last year. my marriage is prearranged or something. We are going to answer Bible contradiction. We also got a couple listener questions we're going to try to get to. But today we're talking about the Kalam cosmological argument. And this is one of my favorites. We like to bring this up every once in a while because I want people to start remembering it and thinking about it. And for those of you watching on YouTube right now, hello. Some people are in our chat room right now. Someone yelled, chat. That's great. I love to see people say chat.
Right on.
And so if you're listening online or on the radio, we are trying an experiment for a couple weeks. We're broadcasting live on YouTube. So if you want to check this out, you can get over to our webpage, truthrevolution.tv. And we're going to put a link there to our YouTube channel. You can subscribe. And then Wednesday night at 5:30, this is Central Time, Kansas time,
right.
5:30 Kansas time, we record the show and you can watch it live. Now, this doesn't go on the radio until Sunday.
Right. Depending on where you're at.
Right. And it doesn't go on podcast until Sunday.
Right.
But if you want to watch us live, you can do that on YouTube.
Just trying to torture me.
Yeah, and if you want to harass us, you can also do that. Because you can log in. We got people chatting. So you can send us messages just to ask questions, to throw your thoughts in there, all sorts of cool things. So I'm excited about
it. It's not that you wanted to do video. It's just that you like to argue with people live.
We love people's responses. We've said before, and I'll say it again, we want to answer every question that someone brings to us.
And even if we can't answer it right now, you know, let us go away and then come back the next week, maybe bring in a bigger answer.
Yeah, and we're going to try to get to every single one of those.
There you go.
So, there was a Christian, and he said to the atheist, how is it can you not believe in God? And the atheist said, do you believe in the Buddhist God? And the Christian said, well, no. And the atheist said, it's kind of like that. Yeah. Okay. So
that was a nice wind up for nothing.
Yeah. Nice. But you know, this concept that we are super amazing and it's completely ridiculous to not believe in God.
Right.
Is looked upon by atheists as a ridiculous statement.
Right. They just take their non-belief one step further than we do.
Than we do.
What they're saying.
Right. Because we don't believe in thousands of God. We just believe in one. And they're like, well, I don't believe in 1,001.
Right.
But we say there's a qualitative difference. And a quantitative difference too, I guess. Mm-hmm. But there's a qualitative difference between saying, look, I believe in the one true God and not all these other gods, and saying there is no God at all.
Right.
And what we want to do with the Kalam cosmological argument is show there is a God that exists, some kind of God. And you know, if you got objections or other thoughts on this, please jump in there. I'm going to read through this. This is called an argument. It's a logical reason. There's a one, a two, and a three. Lines here.
Right.
First line's a premise. The second line's a premise. And third line's a conclusion. So we might say like two premises. We might say all people named Dave like tacos. Mm-hmm. My co-host is named Dave.
That means I would like tacos.
Exactly. That is what that means. That means you would like tacos. Well, we're going to make this kind of reasoning to show God exists. Right. Although tacos were kind of a silly thing to talk about there.
No, not.
Sorry. I don't know why I did that. Tacos. But you get the point. Enough of the booing. Is that all the people on YouTube? Booing. But we're going to go through this. Line one says, whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause.
Right.
Line two says the universe began to exist. Now, if it's true that everything that had a beginning had a cause, and if it's true that the universe began, then the universe had to have a
cause.
Thank you. A creator of some kind. Now, simply put, something outside of the universe had to have caused it to exist in the first place. Now, for those of you watching online live right now, or for those of you hearing the show, I want you to ask this question of yourself. What was your cause? What caused you to exist? And some people, sometimes I'll ask people this question and they'll say, well, my cause is, you know, I believe in fighting AIDS, or my cause is to raise a good family. But that's not what we're talking about.
That cause. You're talking about DNA getting together and forming a human being.
Yes, right? That is right. We're talking about your cause was your mom and your dad.
Right. Like my mom always says, I brought you into this world, I could take you out.
Can she actually take you out?
She probably could.
She probably could?
Still, yeah.
Not morally or legally.
Right.
But technically.
But she could.
She can't. Practically, she could. Right. Your cause was your mom or your dad. The cause of my car was GMC.
There you go.
The cause of the rock sitting on the floor is the
bigger rocks?
The mountain that it broke off right. of. You could take it back even further if you wanted to. But basically, that's what a cause is. Now, we've done a really cool, we've done a really cool video on this subject before.
Yeah.
And we're going to actually link to that on the website. If you want to get over to truthrevolution.tv, you can check out the video. It's actually an unlisted video on YouTube as well. So you can't find it unless you have links. You got to get the truthrevolution.tv.
It's a secret video.
Secrets.
Right on.
We don't want anybody finding it and believing in God without us telling them to. So what is your cause? Now, we're going to get into this argument. Okay, whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause. Is this true? In metaphysics, this is known as the law of causality, Dave. Right. All right. Nothing produces...
nothing.
That's right. Everybody just take your hand right now, scoop a great big bowl of nothing. What can you make with that?
Nothing.
Nothing! If you've got nothing, will always get nothing every single time.
I got some dirt in my hand. No.
Good for you. That means you've been getting some work done,
Never
Dave.
Mind, that's dead skin.
But it does, you can't say, oh, well, there's some air in there. I can make something with those molecules. Right. No, that doesn't count. That's not nothing. That's air. Okay, nothing right. makes nothing. Make a list of something. You could put in books. You could put in a chair. You could put in your brother. You could put in anything. And if it had a beginning to its existence, meaning at one time it didn't exist, but now it does.
Right. It had a cause.
Something caused it to exist, right? Now, here's what the critics do. The critics say...
Oh, those critics.
Oh, well, God must have been self-caused. And that's impossible. So see, God didn't actually exist because God didn't... You can't cause yourself to exist.
Well, now, let me say this.
Okay.
What it sounds like to me is that they're putting on qualities on God that... that belong in this universe. And since God is not in this universe, he's exempt from all that. Would that be correct?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, God's timeless. The fact is God doesn't have a beginning.
Right.
And that's why we can say God didn't have a cause. Right. Because the whole point of line number one, we'd say what had a beginning to its existence has a cause. Mm-hmm. God didn't have a cause, but that's not a problem because God didn't have a beginning.
Right. And it all goes back to him. And since he is the only uncaused being,
yes,
then it makes sense that maybe he would be the one that caused everything else.
Yes, that is exactly right.
I'm smart.
Now, the argument, it doesn't say everything has a cause, right?
Right.
We're saying whatever had a beginning to its existence must have had a cause. Therefore, God's not self-caused. God exists outside of time, as you were getting at, and he never began to exist. But it is true that everything else in our universe had a cause.
Right.
In fact,
the universe
itself had to have a cause because we think the universe began. And that's premise number two. The universe began to exist. How do we know this is true? We're going to get to that in a second. But Dave, let's do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction. Oh, happy day. Happy day.
Why? Why is it a happy day?
I found a new website with Bible contradictions.
Oh, good. I was tired of evil Bible.
Answering-Christianity.com has 101 clear contradictions in the Bible. That's their claim.
Clear ones. I'm sick and tired of these muddled ones.
All right, well, you're about to get a clear one, all right?
All right, let's hit it, Dave.
We want to know who incited David to count the fighting men of Israel.
Okay.
2 Samuel 24:1 says again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, go and take a census of Israel and Judah. Well, 1 Chronicles 21:1 says, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So who did it? Was it God or was it Satan? People want to know.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today. What, do you think you want more than that?
Yes, I want more than
that. All right. If we go to our cracked acronym, the letter C, the second letter C, stands for credibility.
Yes.
And what you have to do here is when you read something that seems to contradict itself, you have to get a little bit of credit to the authors that they weren't so dumb that they just wrote something the opposite of what they meant.
Right.
Or the opposite of what was true. When I read a history book, when I read something that go, that doesn't seem quite right. When I read that Americans used to enslave black people, I could go, well, that just doesn't seem possible.
Right.
I look at my culture today. That just doesn't even seem possible. And they must be wrong. Well, no, I give those historians some credit. And I say, well, they probably know what they're talking about. I'm going to listen to what they have to say about this. Let's give them a little credit, okay? Let's say it is possible 2 Samuel was right, that David was incited by God to take a census.
Right.
And let's say that 1 Chronicles was also right, that Satan incited David.
What?
That both God and Satan...
Oh, they collaborated.
...incited David to take a census.
Okay.
Well, then I think we have an answer. Maybe God and Satan both did this. Why is it mutually exclusive?
I see what you're saying.
I mean, Dave could tell someone, go get a drink out of the water fountain. Mm-hmm. And I could tell someone, go get a drink out of the water fountain. And then if one person says Dave did it, another person says Jeff did it, that doesn't mean...
Right, there's a legitimate contradiction there.
And what happens is we automatically think it couldn't have been both because, well, one is God and one is Satan. They don't ever do the same thing.
You know what I want to blame this on?
What?
Crappy journalism. Honestly. You look at all these rags in the supermarket, stuff like that, and they're just blowing up all this stuff that's really not true.
Yeah.
And so people get it in their minds that, hey, man, all through history, people have been writing things that aren't true.
Yeah, you know, right. Well,
don't trust people.
You see, but we already know it is quite true that sometimes both God and Satan want the same thing. Take the book of Job.
Mm-hmm.
Satan comes to God and says, hey, I want to talk to Job. I want to push Job. And God gives permission.
Right.
You could say that God incited these problems for Job or that Satan incited the problems for Job. You could say both.
Right.
And in matter of fact, if you look at 2 Samuel, it doesn't say the Lord was so pleased with David that he had him do a census. What does it say, Dave?
It says that the anger of the Lord burned against Israel.
Yeah.
And incited David.
So God was angry.
Mm-hmm.
He was inciting David to do something because God was angry at David and the nation of Israel. And so this is a problem for David. In addition to that, you might also want to look at, if you look at 2 Samuel 24, God says, go and take a census, right?
Right.
But then if you read a little bit further in verse 2, it says, so the king said to Joab and the army commanders with him, go throughout the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and enroll the fighting men. You see a little difference there?
Yes, I see.
What is the difference?
The difference is one is a census, and then the other one is to go and enroll the fighting men.
Yeah.
So census would be everybody.
Census would be counting everybody.
Yeah, men, women, and children.
And what David did was counted and enrolled an army.
Right.
Those are two different things. So you could say that God told David to go do a census, but David, incited by Satan, went and did something different. He went and actually did a census where he enrolled fighting men.
Aha.
Bible contradiction.
So that's our answer today.
It makes a lot more sense.
Yes, it does make a lot more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, we're going to be taking a break here just for a few minutes. But when we come back, we're going to get to the second line of the
Kalam cosmological argument.
Thank you, sir. I couldn't say that. The universe began to exist. Is this true or is it not? I actually was in a discussion today with some of my Mormon friends who said they said the universe did not have a beginning.
Okay.
So did it? There are scientists who say it did not because they don't want to believe that God exists.
We're going to get into the law of thermodynamics, aren't we?
Oh, Davey, you're looking ahead.
We're going to get into infinity kind of talk, right?
Boom! Yeah. Your mind is about to explode.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, thanks for joining us. Be right back after this break. Very important. Also, get over to truthrevolution.tv. And if you're interested in watching us live, join us this coming Wednesday at 5:30.
There you go.
We're going to try another test this coming Wednesday. Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me.
All right. And we'll be right back just a couple minutes. In the meantime, get to truthrevolution.tv.
Hey,
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Does God know everything?
A certain group of theologians are now suggesting that God only knows some of everything.
Confused? Well, they say God knows everything that is possible to know, but since your free will choices haven't been made yet, he doesn't know those.
But biblically, it certainly seems like there's no limit to God's knowledge, not even theoretical limits.
Indeed, Psalm 147 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit."
No limit. There's no caveat to that statement. And 1 John 3 says, "For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything."
In John 21, Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, you know all things."
Jesus knows all things.
Certainly open theists are trying hard to reconcile free will with God's power and knowledge. We commend them for that.
But until now, no theologian for thousands of years has promoted such a view. It seems unlikely that in 2014, we'd finally figure out what everyone else had wrong about God.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
Oh, and we're talking about the Kalam cosmological arguments.
That's right. And I got to tell you, if you're interested in watching our show live and maybe chatting a little bit with us, gotta get over to our YouTube channel with Revolution Church. Because there's some behind-the-scenes stuff going on there that you don't get on the regular show.
Right.
You get stuff like Dave
just a little bit
asking, like, wait a minute, how long is this thing going to be?
Well, right? You know, you kind of just... He asked me a question earlier in the week. Hey, man, how do you feel about doing this live on YouTube? And that was the last I heard of it.
You said yes.
I said, okay, I guess.
Yeah, you said yes, so we're doing it.
All right.
I'm an action guy. I say, can we do this? Someone says yes. That means we're doing it.
All right. I'll put that in the memory bank and save it for later.
Darn right. All right. We're going to get to, did the universe begin to exist or not? But before we get to that, I'd like to answer listener questions. Is that cool with you, Dave?
What are you asking?
Just, as if it matters.
Do it.
I got a question.
You said, as if it matters.
As if it matters. All right. Listener question of today. How should we as Christians defend the Bible? One of my coworkers said that, like all other religions, it is written by men.
Okay.
A reference to the scripture in Timothy that says all scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God. But then he countered with, yeah, but a man wrote that too. Oh, I had to tap out there. How should I respond to that?
Well, there's a number of ways that we can know the Bible was written by God. In fact, we've done some shows on this.
Right, maps.
So I'm not going to go over this completely, but yeah, the Hank Hanegraaff, he's a great apologist. He has put together an acronym called MAPS.
Yeah.
And so I want to go over that really briefly for you. This is how we can know the Bible is, as Hank would say, divine rather than human in origin.
There you go.
The M stands for manuscript. We have to look at the manuscript evidence to know, do what we have right now, is what we have right now the same as what was written 2,000 years ago? I mean, that's an important question, because if it's not the same, then it doesn't even matter if the Bible was originally written by God or not.
Right.
I mean,
if you take a manuscript from back then and a Bible right now and they were totally off kilter,
yeah,
just throw it all away.
That's right. And so the manuscript evidence plays a huge role. Right. The manuscript evidence leads us back to what the Bible originally said. Once you establish what it originally said, then you can go to the other parts. The M and then the A stands for archaeology. Archaeology shows that there are no contradictions between what the Bible says and what reality is.
Right.
When
archaeology is constantly digging up stuff that, you know, the Bible says, hey, it was there. And everybody's like, no, it wasn't. Well, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Here it is.
Oh, yeah. You know, we might even add an A, something to this A, anthropology. Uh-huh. We just did a show last week about molecular anthropology.
Right.
Or was it? No, that was a few weeks ago. But we can look now, and through genetics, we can find that Adam and Eve probably really did exist.
Right.
And they probably originated in the area that the Bible suggested they did.
Right.
And it happened just like the Bible in Genesis suggested. So you get this manuscript evidence to get back to what the Bible says originally. Then you use archaeology and anthropology, and you can find out, wow, the Bible doesn't contradict reality. It actually fits with the history of humanity. This is a big deal. And so it's true in an external sense.
Right. Not some just crazy coincidence.
No. And then you can go to the P in MAPS, M-A-P. Mm-hmm. And the P stands for prophecy. Now, this is a big one.
It is. Because, you know, back in the old days,
the old days, like 1962.
No, we're talking about back in BC.
Oh, okay.
Back when they actually used to stone their prophets when they were wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were supposed to, at least.
Right.
Sometimes Israel didn't do that. But yeah, the point is that you were right. I mean, they were supposed to kill a prophet if he's wrong. And we look at the prophets that wrote the scriptures in our Bible, and they were not wrong. They were never wrong. They predicted the rise and fall of nations hundreds of years in advance. They predicted what the Messiah would do, Jesus, when he came.
Well, they even predicted, bam, the exact year the Messiah would be cut off.
They predicted the year he would be cut off. Mm-hmm. They predicted, Jesus predicted the fall of the temple in Jerusalem.
Right.
I mean, there are hundreds and thousands of prophecies in the Bible.
It's not just some spiritual mumbo jumbo, folks.
No, and these are not real Nostradamic prophecies. Right. There's like, there's a beast upon a scenic plain. Right. And you're like, what does
there's
that
very,
mean?
Very specific prophecies as opposed to Nostradamus, who is very vague.
Right. I mean, Jesus, he looks at the temple and he says, see these stones? Not one will be left upon another.
Right.
And they're all like, what does he mean by that? I'm like, I think he means it's going down. Yeah. Exactly what he said.
Right.
And so the prophecies are specific, and there is no way that the Bible could fulfill hundreds of those prophecies and be absolutely right every single time unless it was God himself inspiring this. And then we go to the letter S, M-A-P-S, and the statistics behind this.
Right.
I mean, the odds that someone could fulfill the prophecies that Jesus did are astronomical.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we've done a show on this before. Go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and look up statistics. You're going to find a show we did.
Yes, and it will blow your mind.
I mean, Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies, but even counting just 48 of them, it's like way, 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 way less likely that you could fulfill even 48 prophecies that Jesus did than it is that you're going to win two lotteries, like big ones, Powerball lotteries, see a meteor hit Earth, get hit by lightning, die in a bus wreck, die in a plane wreck, have quadruplets, and have twins. I mean,
that's a full day's work right there.
That's a full day's work.
Gentlemen.
And if that's happened to you, then you might fulfill some of the prophecies Jesus did. But yeah, that's
good luck with that.
Go to our website and look up maps and look up statistics and look up archaeology, and you'll find more information about that. But that's the answer for that listener question.
I got a question.
All right. So back to the Kalam cosmological argumento. The universe...
Is that your Spanish there?
...began to exist, though.
Right. It did.
All right. Believe it or not, this sometimes is a huge point of disagreement. We believe the universe had a beginning. Young earthers believe it's about 6,000 years old, right. 10,000 years old. Old earthers like us believe the universe is somewhere around 14 and a half billion years old.
There you go.
Older than Dave.
I hope so.
Well, what? That wasn't an insult. It's just true, right?
Older than Dave.
Yeah, it's older than Dave. But there's two reasons why we know the universe had a beginning.
Right.
And the philosophical is the first one. We use logic, and we know that if you're trying to deny this, you'd say the universe didn't have a beginning, right? That it was infinite. But before we can tackle this, you got to understand what infinite is. I mean, it's
let's take time all the way back to infinity.
Okay.
Is that even possible?
Let's travel. How long is it going to take us if we're going 1 mile an hour?
It will take infinity.
Forever. What if we're going 1,000 miles an hour?
That'd be slightly faster amount of infinity.
But it'd still take forever. Yeah. What if you're going warp 10?
Still infinity.
Infinite. You see, you cannot traverse an infinite amount of time. You just can't do it.
So we would never arrive at this particular point in time.
Thank you.
You know.
Thank you, Dave. If the universe was infinitely old, we would have never gotten to where we are today.
Right.
Because there would still be an infinite amount of time between sometime in the past and now.
Right.
As a matter of fact, if the universe had an infinite amount of time, the moment between now and the next moment, there would be an infinite amount of time. Right. You could never even get to the next moment.
Right. And now a person that may not be thinking might actually say, oh, that's just a cop-out. But I dare you. Just think about it. And get back to us.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's not a cop-out. That's a real legitimate thing. If you have an infinite amount of time, you cannot actually progress to the point we are at right now, because you would have had to go through trillions upon trillions upon trillions upon trillions upon trillions of years to get here, and you just can't traverse it.
Even at warp 10.
Even at warp 10. Now, science kind of comes in here too to play. The second law of thermodynamics, which you pointed out we were going to talk about, says that in a closed system, everything runs down.
Right.
Your car's a closed system until you put gas in it.
Right. You inject something from the outside into it to make it continue to go.
If your car was a completely closed system, it would eventually run down and die.
Right.
Your car's an open system. Your body's not a closed system. Why is your body not a closed system?
Well, because we need stuff from the outside anyway, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know,
food.
Food and sunlight.
You have to have pizza and popcorn to live. If you don't have those things, you will cease to exist.
I can exist without popcorn, Jeff. I know you find that...
What?
Yeah, I know you
find that... What?
Hard to believe.
Anyway, whatever. Enough of these lies. Let's just continue with the argument. So the fact is, our universe is slowly running out of energy because it's a closed system, right? Just like a car runs out of gas, our universe is running out of energy. On a large scale, we see stars eventually die.
Yes.
Black holes eat up solar systems, and it, believe it or not, the entire universe itself is cooling down. Scientists measured in 10 to the 30 years, that's like trillions and trillions of years from now, the universe is going to be 90% dead stars.
Right. And 90, that's not going to be a good day.
90% dead stars. Our sun won't exist, obviously.
Right.
9% of the universe will be a gigantic black holes, just preparing to eat the rest of the universe. And the rest of the universe will just be 1% hydrogen. Well, and even
at
10,
least there's that.
10 to the 100 years from now, which is a long time, black holes will even dissipate. And this will happen for trillions upon trillions of years. But if the universe has always existed, how long ago should have that happened?
That should have happened like almost like an infinite amount of number of years ago.
Yeah. If the universe is infinitely old, this should have happened.
Even existing right now.
Right. Because the universe should have ran out of energy. Trillions of years ago.
I never put both of those arguments together.
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah. You get it? So whatever has a beginning has a cause.
Right.
We know the universe had to have had a beginning. So it had to have had a cause.
You're starting to talk like Captain Kirk. What's up?
I don't know. Therefore, the universe has a cause. It's got a creator, okay? Whatever has a beginning to its existence had to have a cause. And the universe had a beginning to its existence. So the universe has to have a cause. And there's a creator. Since the universe is everything that we know that exists, the very thing that caused it to exist must be the creator, God himself. And now you know the cosmological argument, the Kalam cosmological argument.
Wow, that's good timing right there.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago we did the vertical cosmological argument.
Yeah.
And that's a fun one too. If you know both of these, you know that God not only created it at the beginning and caused it to come into being.
He holds it all together.
That's right. It's in his hand right now. Thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. Come on out to Revolution Church, 9 a.m., 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. You can watch that live on YouTube as well from our channel. You can go to truthrevolution.tv to find our YouTube channel. Look up this show. And if you're watching live on YouTube right now, thanks for joining us for our test broadcast.
We appreciate it.
We're going to do another test broadcast this Wednesday at 5:30. So if you want to watch us live and harass us or talk or whatever, be on our website, truthrevolution.tv. Click on the link or subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can be there 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday, Kansas time.
There you go.
All right.
No excuses.
No excuses. You got to be there. Truthrevolution.tv. We'll try to put a link up in this show. Have a great week. God bless.